Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan. Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Greetings, Falcons fans. Welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. Daniel Cox in that ugly sweater, Jay Adams in this ugly sweater. It's an ugly sweater kind of day around here.
Among other things, Jay.
Among other things, and a red mustache kind of day. This is driving me nuts. I can't do it.
I don't know. Yeah, that didn't last long.
No, it's fine. We'll put it on.
Yeah, there you go.
Put it on Matt. Never mind.
We'll get that fixed.
Oh, well.
I'll take care of that.
Exactly. Well, we are in the midst of the holiday season. Your shopping done yet?
I got quite a bit of it done on Wednesday last night.
Good.
So
I haven't even started. So
yeah,
you're ahead of me.
So we've only got a couple days left.
So. Yeah, well, I'll figure it out. Falcons coming off the 27-26 win over the Washington Redskins at home.
Yes.
Nice little fun little game. Fun little game that was.
That's one way to put it.
And so we're in a winning week.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a winning mood. We're in a holiday mood.
Festive.
Very festive kind of mood. And so we're gonna teach the folks some things,
right?
Because we're an educational program.
Absolutely. It's
our
primary focus here.
Primary focus is to teach you something. I don't know what it's gonna be.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be something. And we've got some 12 days of Falcons 2013.
Yeah, this is
a full chorus.
It's gonna be a festive show. Yeah. We've got the fire.
We've got a choir coming in.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
They're going to sing.
Does that consist of two interns that will be singing against their will?
No. No, I wish there was a choir, but there's no choir. It's just going to be you and me.
Okay.
So, and then we'll have Most Valuable Falcon, of course.
Yes, that's
everyone's
favorite.
We're down here, and we're sipping on some nog, aren't we?
Yeah, we got some eggnog. Yeah, it's very the seasonal beverage of choice. It's very thick. And
So it's you're an eggnog fan?
I enjoy eggnog
from
seasonally.
Time to time. Yes, seasonally.
Only a couple times.
Not going to drink this stuff out on the porch in the middle of the summer.
No.
It'll be a bad choice.
It's a couple. It's like one or two steps away from being milkshake.
I mean,
it's really thick.
It's thick. I mean, it's one or two steps away from being a solid brick.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it from time to time. But I've always I don't know anything about eggnog.
It's got an odd name.
Yeah,
And it comes out. It just comes out this time of the year. It's like
that's it.
You know, October,
well, it
or November.
It tastes very Christmassy.
Wow, really?
I mean, it does. If Christmas had a taste,
Fair enough. I was thinking more like candy canes or peppermint or something like that. But
I mean, I think there's a lot of flavors that can
this is true.
Come around this time of the year.
So. This is true. Eggnog is one of them. So with that in mind, I have a couple of facts, some things, five things you may not know, you probably don't know, you wish you knew.
I don't know.
You don't care about eggnog.
I think that's the way we should. Five things you don't care about. Take it away, Dan.
All right. So eggnog is obviously a sweetened dairy-based beverage. It's made from milk, sometimes cream as well, or substituted for the milk. Sugar, whipped eggs, which is where the thickness comes from.
While you do that, I'm just gonna make sipping sounds.
Okay, excellent. It dates back. It's the history of eggnog is a little bit varied. It's a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
As Jay continues to sip,
mm-hmm.
if we get a milk mustache or a nog mustache going, we need to make sure we.
You work on that. I'll work on
zoom
that.
In on that shot there, Matt. So it dates back. Some historically, it's believed to date back to a medieval English beverage called posset.
Posset.
Yes, that's another. What was the? Never mind. Posset. The Canadian. What was that? What was the?
Poutine.
Yes, that's what I was thinking about when I came across that. So this is posset, which is a curdled milk beverage.
What?
they heat the milk. They warm the milk until it curdled, and then they would add wine or ale, and then it toss in some spices. And that was what they called posset, a drink that they enjoyed And over time, that's kind of like the original ancestor, so to speak, of eggnog. It became extremely popular in the American colonies. Mm-hmm. Eggs, you know, and dairy were obviously, you know, readily available. So they began to make eggnog with that. And, you know, eggnog has a long history linkage to alcohol, especially mm-hmm. liquor. Mm-hmm. So that was...
Ours is the Shirley Temple version.
Yes, yes. Ours is very virgin.
Okay.
Yes. Straight from the grocery store milk aisle.
That's right.
The term eggnog has unclear origins.
That's...
But this this is... There's a couple of different, you know, thoughts on that, but the one
tell me your theory, Professor.
Okay, theory. It's derivative from the word noggin, which back in super early medieval English days was a small wooden mug that was originally used to serve eggnog or posset.
Mm-hmm.
Small wooden mug. So that's kind of where some people believe that that term came from, eggnog.
I'll buy that.
Yeah, yeah. We're drinking from our fancy ceramic cups these days in the modern America.
Uh-huh.
First recorded instance of the term eggnog dates back to the 18th century, and by that time it was widely served in bars and American bars and restaurants and things like that. And it had become more Americanized and much more similar to what we know it as today. Get this. This would be our last fact.
I can't wait.
Last fact. A 4-ounce cup of eggnog
mm-hmm.
has... 170 calories, nearly 10 grams of fat, and over 70 milligrams of cholesterol, which is, if you keep track of that sort of thing, a quarter of your daily recommended intake.
Well,
yes,
it'll be the last sip of nog that I take.
I don't think you've had 4 ounces yet.
I do not think so either, but the I can feel it going to my thighs just by osmosis.
Oh, your thighs.
Just from it being on the same table where I am sitting.
That Jay Adams is always worried about his figure.
That's right. I got a leotard I got to fit into this weekend,
right.
All right?
Okay.
So, well, there you have it. 5 things you still don't care about eggnog.
Oh, when eggnog is made into a custard,
oh, 6
it can
things
be turned into ice cream.
Which sounds delicious.
Eggnog ice cream does sound really good.
It does. Well, now that we're fully in the spirit.
Yeah.
And we've learned everything there is to know about eggnog. Why don't we do some 12 days of Falcons 2013?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Let's hit the music.
Yeah.
Can we hit the music?
Yeah.
We got some music.
We should.
Get us in the spirit even further.
The 12 days spirit.
12 days.
So this is kind of, you know, taking the popular song, 12 Days of Christmas,
yeah.
kind of turning it into a Falcons recap, so to speak, of certain events and notable things that occurred in our 2013 season.
That's right.
What do you think?
That's right. I love it. So, let's start off number 12. 12 in the 12 days of 2013. 12 seasons for Tony Gonzalez, who has 2 games left. 12 seasons of 6 or more touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's a lot of touchdowns.
It is a lot. It's impressive. And he's a tight end, you know. And
right. And a dangerous one at that.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's, you know, sometimes I don't even know whether we should just take that moment to just talk about how incredible Tony Gonzalez has been. But, again, he's a tight end that had those kind of touchdown numbers. You know, and now we hear, you know, tight ends, Jimmy Graham, we hear all those names and how important they are to their offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how important tight ends are now in the offensive game in general in the NFL. When Tony Gonzalez came into the league, tight end was just a big guy, like the 6th offensive lineman for the most part.
Yeah.
He turned that position into a weapon.
Yeah, but the thing that people overlook about Tony is that he's still a heck of a pass blocker.
Oh yeah.
When he's asked to block, he's still very formidable up front.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you know, obviously the stats and everything that you can keep track of certainly overshadow some of those other attributes of his, but he's a heck of a pass blocker as well.
So. Absolutely.
All right, 11 days from this point remaining in the 2013 season.
11 days left. Thank goodness.
Right? Hey, thanks. Yeah, hey. Thank goodness. You know,
what?
We're ready. We're ready to, you know, we want to go to San Francisco. We want to host Carolina. We want to spoil some some seasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, ready to get on with the 2014 offseason.
Yeah.
And start worrying about some draft stuff.
Yeah, probably going to be a top 10 pick, if not a little higher. And, you know, you feel good about your chances of landing a pretty good player in with a draft pick like that. So, kind of glad that there's just 11 days left.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So.
All right. 10 weeks of Warlow.
Yes.
10 weeks of Warlow.
10 weeks of Warlow and counting.
And counting.
Yeah.
So this could change down the line.
Yeah.
But
as of right now, he's had that streak of, you know, 10 weeks, 10 starts. Pretty impressive. He's been a beast.
He has. 18th in the league with 109 tackles. I mean, imagine if this guy had played the whole time.
Exactly.
I mean, you got to think that he would be he'd be vying for the defensive rookie of the year spot.
Absolutely.
And, obviously there's some other guys in the league who are you know, more shoe-ins for that, but I mean, you got to think that if he would have had a little bit more on his resume this year, that he would be right up there with those guys.
Absolutely, you know, 18th—that doesn't sound. I mean, you know, he's 18th,
right?
But like you said, you know, you take into consideration, he didn't even like the first quarter of the season. He wasn't even on the field hardly at all.
Exactly,
and then when you look at some of the names ahead of him, he's. Those are names that we're familiar with, linebackers in the league that are, you know, name guys that are legitimate career, like franchise linebacker guys. And it's nice to see him in there with those guys.
Absolutely. All right. Speaking of rookies.
Yes.
Nine rookies playing.
Nine rookies playing.
Name them.
Yes. Levine Toilolo playing key minutes, key snaps. And Levine Toilolo, he's been on the field. He's got a touchdown, at least one, I think, that I recall. Ryan Schrader last week started at right tackle. He gave up a sack. He was involved in that sack and that fumble, let's be honest. But he still had a pretty nice game, all things considered.
Yep.
Robert Alford, Desmond Trufant, Zeke Mata
yep.
got his first start last week. Malachi Goodman recovered that fumble last week.
Yep.
Then he got sniped.
Got sniped from the upper deck, but yeah. That's all right.
Paul Warilo, the guy we just mentioned, Joppa Bartu, and Darius Johnson.
That's a lot of them.
And no disrespect to Stansley Mpanga. He's only been getting on the field, you know, here lately. But some of these guys have really been that core group of rookies that have contributed, pretty important, you know, plays. They've been a viable part of the team over the course of the season.
And we needed something for nine.
Yes, this is true, too.
Eight Antoine Smith touches.
Yeah.
Eight Antoine Smith touches. And you, I know a lot of people are wishing that that number wasn't so low. But Antoine Smith touches 205 yards, 25.6 yards per touch.
Yeah.
On those eight touches,
as a receiver, running back, and a returner, he had that handoff return a couple weeks ago, and he
had
like 50 yards out of it. So.
Well, obviously, you know, he didn't play last week because of the knee injury, and you know, we'll get the injury report starting today, but we'll see how he is for San Francisco. But you'd like to see that number eight. Maybe change a little bit.
Yes, that would be nice.
All right. Seven, you could count them. Seven Redskins turnovers.
What? Can we just talk about that game for
Absolutely.
A minute?
Absolutely.
What an insane
I've
game.
I've never seen anything like it.
That series, there's so many turnovers, like, I get them confused. I was writing something yesterday, and I was thinking about one forced fumble, and when I started looking back through the game notes, it was like, oh, that's a different forced fumble you were thinking about. You got to find the other one.
Yeah. Well, the fact that three of them happened in a span of about 18 game seconds.
Yeah, it was like that. That those three fumbles back to back to back, changed possession two times technically. They moved so bizarre. Like the Falcons started that drive, I think it was, or the Redskins. It was on like the 15 yard line, and when it was all over, the Falcons had the ball on the 5 yard line.
Yeah,
it was insane.
It was wild, wacky stuff, and you know, one of those games that You'll always remember you were when there were 7 Redskins turnovers.
Yeah, 9 total if you include the Falcons.
Exactly. All right. So, six losses by 7 points or less. And this is an important point because, you know, it's so easy to get down on this year. And, you know, when you're sitting at 4-10, mm-hmm. is that right?
That's right.
Sometimes you lose count. Yes. Six of those games, I mean, you're in those games. And mm-hmm. you're battling with... within a possession of the lead. So Saints loss, the first Saints loss, the Dolphins loss, which was right at the final moments, Patriots loss, which was you're down by 17 and you were able to fight back. Mm-hmm. The Jets, you lose in a last-minute drive. The Saints game, you just couldn't find the end zone in the second half. And then Packers, kind of the same deal. You score 21 in the first half and not able to put anything up in the second half. So last season you won 7 games by 7 or less. So that kind of tells you the difference in the ball bouncing your way.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. 5. You have to sing this one, right?
5 starters injured.
That's great. All right. So 5 starters.
But you have to, like, it's like, ugh.
Yeah. It's not like that 5 golden rings thing.
No, it's nothing quite as impressive. 5
starters
that.
Injured. All right. So Croy Bierman, Mike Johnson, Julio Jones, Sam Baker, Brady Ewing all end up on the injured reserve list. And, you know, it's kind of been that season. That's, that kind of says it all about the season is just these guys, important roles. Some of them were expected to fill important roles and just never kind of came to fruition.
Yeah. You know, those are just the guys that ended up on injured reserve. And then you've got guys like Spoon who were out for like 9 weeks.
Steven Jackson was out for a few weeks.
Absolutely. So,
there's your 5 golden rings.
Yeah.
All right. 4. 400-yard receivers.
Yes.
Julio, which, you know, he was still leading the league in, like, yards per catch, like, 5 weeks after he went on IR.
Yeah, but,
So he had 400. He's got 400 yards. Harry Douglas, who's approaching 1,000 yards. I think he's about 27 or 37 yards away from that. He's got 400. Roddy's got 400. And Tony Gonzalez, 400. Yeah. Those 4 guys.
Yeah.
Great productive year. Spreading the ball around. All right. 3 OCU Mignore fumbles.
Yeah. And he's so good at that.
Yeah.
I watched that sack and that strip the other day from last week, and he was less concerned about getting the actual sack.
Yeah.
But he, you know, it was like this long swim thing. Mm-hmm. He hit the ball out. And that's what OC does. I mean, 35 career forced fumbles, 6 among all active players. I mean, that's impressive.
It is. All right, 2 rookies intercepting.
Yes.
Robert Alford, Desmond Trufant, I think you've gotten what you expected out of those couple of guys. And I think you can only look at the future and say that it is certainly bright at the cornerback position. We've really seen it here in recent weeks, and especially in the Redskins game, Desmond Trufant has stepped up big time. Yeah. He had that big, huge pass tip at the end of the game to ultimately win the game for the Falcons. But both of these guys, future is very bright for the Falcons in that area of the field.
Absolutely. I mean, you can kind of see their play personality start to develop a little bit as well. And it's, we already kind of knew, I think, you know, what we knew about those guys. Robert Alford is a little more of a gambler, you know, that kind of guy. And Trufant is a true technician. He's a true, like, he's just so sound. And you say he's coming on. He's been coming on in the last couple of weeks. And I'll agree with that to a point. But I would also say he's just kind of progressed over the course of the season until right now. I think he's playing really, really good football, and you're right. Cornerback position appears, at least from those 2 outside starters, looks like it's going to be in pretty good shape.
Absolutely. All right, and the last one. 1 living legend for us to see, and that is Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And
what an incredible player. Incredible
fans,
career.
Make sure that you take full advantage to watch this guy over the next 2 games, because it's the last time You'll see him, and I mentioned on Twitter earlier this week, I said there'll never be another one like him. I got some people that disagreed with me, and to that I say, get at me when that other guy's got 15,000 yards.
Yeah,
because
17 years
and those kinds of things. So enjoy what you can out of the last few games of Tony Gonzalez's career, because it's special. Yeah. To watch, I mean, the greatest player to ever play this position.
Absolutely, and we've been planning all types of things to commemorate the end of Tony's career and acknowledge what an impressive career it's been. And when I've sat down to think about how do we want to convey certain things about Tony? What is it we want to convey? Is it, do you want to convey just the longevity of the career? You want to convey the records and the success of the career? You know, the his durability of his career. I mean, which do you want to really focus on? And ultimately, it's all those things. He's a future Hall of Famer, and there's so rarely that you get to say, "I'm watching." Like currently, I'm watching a Hall of Famer practice. I'm watching him play.
And how rare is it that you look at a guy who's approaching 40 years old, and say, "This guy's still got a couple of years left." You're leaving the game at, I think he's 37 right now. Yep. And you're leaving the game when you're still on top of your game.
Yeah.
And very rarely do you see that where a guy makes it to 37 and you say, okay, this guy's still got some time left.
Yeah.
And you really think like he could play all the way to 40.
Yeah.
And still be productive and a huge force on offense. And so he's certainly going out on top, and enjoy everything you possibly can over these next 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Because it's going to be a sight to behold.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's our 12 days of 2013.
Nice job.
Yeah. Great job.
Yeah. Get rid of that.
So there's that. We'll throw it at the birthday boy. Robert Jilks, happy birthday. All right. We got the thumbs up. Okay.
All right.
All right. So, most valuable Falcon. So, we went into last week with you needing to put together one heck of a streak.
Yeah.
And you got one.
I'm rising from the ashes.
Rising from the ashes. Okay. So I had Roddy White, who had 5 catches and 53 yards. Yeah. You chose Tony, who had 6 catches and 62 yards and a touchdown. And that one touchdown was a heck of a touchdown. That nice little basketball move into the end zone there. So, Daniel, the current record is 7-5-2 with me leading.
With 2 games left?
2 games left.
These are must-win scenarios.
Must-win scenarios. So, this week, again, it's do or die for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I'm not worried, though.
Who's your pony?
My pony. I mean, I'm going with the best there ever was, right?
Brett the Hitman Hart?
Yeah. Oh, where are those glasses?
The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be.
Yes.
Okay, so Daniel's going with Bret Hart.
Yeah. You're going to take Sting with NWO Sting in the rafters?
No, I'm going with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Because nobody has given Bret Hart a run for his money like Shawn Michaels.
The Heartbreak Kid?
The Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah. You liked him?
No, I didn't like him. I was more of a Bret Hart fan, but you took him first.
Okay.
All right, no, seriously, who you got?
No shock to anyone, I'm going with Tony Gonzalez again. I'm going to pull the worry low on you. And we're going to ride Tony. I'm going to tell you now. Yeah, that's going to be my pick next week as well.
Okay.
All right. So
fair enough.
Beat that, Jay.
All right. So Tony Gonzalez goes for Daniel, and we're going to make it a true rematch of last week because I'm going to go with Roddy White. And I know I probably should get back on the Warlow train.
I don't know, man. It's that offense. We've already proven and seen offense versus defense in this game.
Yeah.
Get you lost.
Yeah, and this is certainly a big game for the Falcons and facing a very tough defense in San Francisco.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be a challenge for both of these guys to be able to find those open spaces and contribute on offense. But, I like Roddy this week. I think, again, we've really seen him kind of step up and rise to the challenge. He feels healthier. He's recovering, and he's looking as good as he has all season. So
yeah.
That's my guy.
Okay.
So all right.
Rematch.
Roddy versus Tony in the grudge match, part 2. And let's see if I can pull off the win this week.
Okay.
The season win.
Yeah. You'll lock it up if you win, but I don't know. It's hard to pick against Tony, right?
Yeah, I know. Well,
what a nice fire we have.
Let's go. It's a great fire. It's really warm and everything. Yeah, very nice.
Absolutely.
But let's go finish our eggnog by the fire and get ready for another great week of football.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for joining us on the Falcon Cast podcast.